Good morning. There we are. All right. Welcome to our worship service on this snowy, chilly morning here. I trust that you all were able to make it safely in. There was those of you who are like me and are residents of West Fargo had a nice little phone call this morning also about certain chemical hazards blowing in the wind and things like that this morning, but we made it. I don't mean to scare people who didn't hear anything about that. It's no big deal, I don't think, but if I do, I guess if I do fall over dead up here, you'll know a little bit better why, as well as a few others in the pews. But I think we're all okay, although it wouldn't be bad for us to remember in prayer. I don't think that there are any individuals. There's a large fire in West Fargo this morning, I think it was in the industrial area, so I don't think there are any people specifically directly affected, but it's good to pray for the firefighters and the hazardous material team I know is up there too and so forth. So, but anyway, we're glad to be here. I do have quite a long list of announcements. If it's any consolation to you, I think the sermon's going to be a little bit shorter than normal today too, but I need to take some time here with this because there are quite a few things going on and I want to make sure that you are informed. So hang with me here. You can see that there are coffee and cookies served after the service, so stick around for that time of fellowship. Then the young adult people are going on a outing here later this morning. This afternoon, if you did not sign up or anything like that, but would like to come, there are like three or four more spots, and so it's kind of we're limited because of what we're doing as to how many can go. And so basically, it's going to be the first three or four that tell me they want to go, if that's you and you haven't signed up yet. So, but please do that because you are invited. We'd love to have you come with us. As well, here for lunch, there will be lunch served down in the fellowship hall for you, and then we'll head out after that. 7:30 basketball tonight. Tomorrow, 2 p.m., coffee and conversation, so please come out for that time of fellowship and to spend some time there with one another. And then you can see there's quilting on Tuesday, our regular Wednesday schedule with council meeting after the Lenten service. Then Friday night is one of the big ones there. The Aphelbus Concert Choir is going to be here, and they do a wonderful job with their music. If you are into that, or even if you're not into music but just would like to come and be blessed that evening, I can put the Micah guarantee that you will be blessed if you come. And so please consider doing that on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you here. We are housing the choir also, and Tammy mentioned here to me this morning that there are still some needs there. I think there's 9 women in the choir that we need housing for, as well as the choir director and his wife and 2 children. And so if you're able to help with that, please talk to Tammy Eastrom or Eunice Berge. I think they're both here today. Marianne Ward and Stephanie Moen are on the hospitality committee too, but I think the other two are kind of heading that part up, and so talk to them, or if you don't know them, you can talk to me, and I can direct you there as well. Let's see, and then next Sunday, regular schedule with worship, and then Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. There are several other announcements I would direct your attention to. There's a softball announcement already in there, so look at that if that's interesting to you. There's a housing thing there too for the choir. The directory is getting printed soon. There is a table in the hallway for any address and phone number contact information updates, so please check that before you leave today to make sure that we have the right information for you. If you're not in our directory but would like to be, we would love to have you there. There's a place for you to put your name on there so that we have you there as well. And then there's one other announcement here too relating to the Patinode family, and I should give you an update on that. If you did not hear, I think most did, but if you didn't, on Tuesday morning, Ryan and Stephanie's little 7-month-old Felicity was diagnosed with a form of kidney cancer. They initially thought that it was one of the most common and treatable forms of child kidney cancer, and when the pathology came back on, I think, Thursday, they found out it's actually one of the very rare forms. It's treatable still, however, there are some significant complications, and one of them right now, there's a couple right now. One of them is she was diagnosed on Friday with RSV, or excuse me, yesterday, I think. So she's in the ICU right now with RSV. There's some other, like I said, more serious complications, and so it's a really, really hard time right now for our intern and his family. And so pray for them. Please do that. Pray for Felicity and for health for her. Some of the immediate needs are to get over this RSV, and that her body would be fighting against this and be able to heal from all that is attacking her right now. So many of you, when I left them last night, one of the thoughts was, how can we begin to even say thank you to all who have been helping and supporting? And so I assured them I would at least try to express that to you all who have brought meals over, we've had a couple of you babysitting during some very crucial times, actually, and so they're so grateful to you for that. Keep praying. There is still there's a website on the back of this sheet. You can see if you would like to sign up to serve or to bring a meal over to the house. And so if that's something you'd be interested in doing, take a look at that, and then you can sign up for that as well on any available times that there are. If you have any questions about that, please feel free to ask after the service. I'd be happy to answer what I can to, but in the meantime, please keep praying for Felicity and for the Pat Nodes. A couple other prayer requests too. Jackie Earle is out of the hospital, back in Detroit Lakes at a nursing home there, getting rehab done on her hip. Donna Ranger is in the hospital right now with some kidney troubles, and so pray for Donna, and then pray too for Ina's Olson, who will be having not quite knee replacement, but something close to it on Tuesday morning here this week as well. So keep those people in your prayers. Okay, I think that's all I have. Are there any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? Yes. Okay, so if you want to usher and or read scripture for a month throughout the coming year, there's a sign-up sheet on that same table in the hallway where the directory copies are, or you can talk to Carrie and he can help you there too. And he happens to be this month's usher, so you can all see him and what he looks like if you're wondering what he looks like. Any other announcements? If not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
You may be seated. The first song that we're going to sing this morning is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And if you want to see the words, it is number 187 in your hymnal. They're on the screen too, I guess. But anyway, the second verse has, I guess we're familiar with it, most of us, but the word Ebenezer, we kind of know that from Ebenezer Scrooge for that Christmas play that is often used. But Ebenezer is the name of a stone that was set up by Samuel after the Israelites defeated the Philistines. Chased them down the hill, if you can picture kind of the topography of the Holy Land, chased them down the hill. Actually, the Lord thundered a great thunder, and it kind of scared them off. But anyway, they got down there, and Samuel set up this stone, and he called it Ebenezer, which means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And we can all give praise to God as he has kept us and led us however many years that we have known him and served him. And he is able to keep us from falling. I don't know the story of this hymn real well, so I'm probably going to goof it up, but the man who wrote it strayed from the Lord. And at one point, I believe he was on a train, and he heard somebody singing this very song that he had written, and the Lord used that to draw him back to the Lord once again. And God is faithful to us, and he is the fount of every blessing, and to stray from him is the most unwise thing that a person can do. We need him every day, and he's He's always the fount of every blessing. Let's sing together. Author of this hymn was on that train, he experienced what this next hymn is about. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, and we stray when we go off into the ways of sin, when we walk away from our Lord Jesus and just live apart from him and give ourselves over to the flesh and the works of sin and the devil, or if we've never known Christ as our Savior, he calls to us, and he wants us to be his for our good, because apart from him, we have no salvation, and we are lost, and we will be condemned for our sins, because our sins deserve that. But Jesus calls us because he loves us.
Is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be honor and majesty, dominion and power forever. Amen. He is able to keep us because he's always this. He never changes. He's our cornerstone. He's our rock. And we can depend on him at all times because he is always faithful. Always faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's our hope. We're going to sing Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Oh, I can live in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Stallone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
We're going to be talking today about the joy and the excitement and the beauty of what it means to be a Christian and what that actually means for our life, and especially when those storms of life come. And part of healthy worship and entering into God's presence is doing so humbly, confessing that we are sinners, confessing that we need a Savior, that we need a cornerstone, that without that cornerstone, we are hopeless. And so I would invite you to take part in this time of worship now in your hearts with your words as we confess our sins and then receive his grace. And so you'll find our confession of sins printed in the bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his Son's sake, he does forgive our sins. Our sins are forgiven in Jesus. For that, we thank him and praise him. Romans 8, verse 1, which you are going to hear later. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free. We are born again. We are forgiven. Praise God for that. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Carrie Meske to read our scripture.
The Old Testament is from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood of the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father, he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offsprings as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. The gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Here ends the reading.
It's good to hear God's word. Let's confess our faith now, saying that this is what we believe, joining Christians not only around the world today, but throughout history, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Father, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so abundantly provide for us. I know we have a tendency, God, to forget to say thank you when you are good to us. And so we say thank you today. You are good. We love you. We praise you for that, Lord. I pray that you would bless the rest of our service now this morning, especially the hearing, the preaching, the reading of your word, God. Work in our hearts in a mighty way, we ask in your name. Amen. Before the message, let's sing our hymn together here, number 559, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 559. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. I'm excited for this text this morning. I was surprised to find this week that I've never actually preached on this text. Surprised just because it's a favorite portion of Scripture, I guess, for me, and I do often reference it in sermons and other settings, but I've never actually preached on these verses, and so I'm excited. Would you please join me in standing then, if you are able, as I read from Romans chapter 8, reading verses 31 through 39 this morning, in Jesus' name. Romans 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, what joy and excitement and beauty these verses portray. I pray that as we meditate on them now and study them and hear about them, God, that you would instill in us a love for you and an awe of your majesty and your wisdom and your power and your mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, the thoughts of our hearts here gathered this morning, would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been speechless? In a good way. So in awe, and I was in awe of the event, that you don't even have words. I was in awe of the beauty of the mountains last week when I was on vacation. Bridegrooms often describe a feeling of speechlessness as they gaze upon the beauty of their bride walking down the aisle. Parents, when they meet their newborn babies. Recipients of wonderful, extravagant gifts. Maybe you've had times like that in your life. They're beautiful, aren't they? That's kind of the sense that Paul gives us in our text this morning when he says, "What shall we say then to these things? What can we even say? This is so wonderful." Now, these things are a reference to the immediate context of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, that verse that I read earlier this morning. And then verse 30, right before our text, those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. But these things, what shall we say to these things? That Paul references include the greater context of the book of Romans as well, which we won't take time to work through verse by verse this morning, but Paul summarizes what he's alluding to in the very next phrase in verse 31. God is for us. It's the gospel. Rosenius was an old Swedish pastor that has greatly influenced our church body, and he's the one who takes this opening question as an invitation to, as he says, give profound thought to this unspeakable comfort that God is for us. I would invite you to do that this morning. Give profound thought to this unspeakable comfort that God is for us. God is real. He is not a big, mean guy up in the sky who loves to push people under his giant thumb. He doesn't oppress us. He's not indifferent or apathetic toward us. He is perfectly just. And justice, fairness, says that we don't deserve anything good from him. Paul talks at length about that in this book. We are born into sin, and there's nothing that we can do to rid ourselves of that, and the consequences of it are eternal. And that is actually fair, because God is perfect. But Romans goes into detail about how God then justly, fairly made us right. And that's what led Paul to exclaim then at the beginning of chapter 8 that there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. It's not that God's fairness and justice and perfection went away. It's that he had a plan and executed that plan perfectly in order to fairly and justly and perfectly atone for our sins, our shortcomings. So that then, even though you and I don't deserve heaven, by faith in Christ, we have it anyway. And God is giving it to us. It's beautiful. God's way of salvation, his work on our behalf, is so perfect and airtight and sufficient that we are left simply to stand in awe and in assured peace. If God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? Think about that. And this all revolves around the finished work of Christ on the cross. So, for example, if you're wondering today if God really is for you, God says, hey, look at the cross. If God is for you, there is no enemy that can stand up to that. And if you doubt the truth of that, Paul reminds you that God did not even spare his own son for you. If there are days, scratch that. When there are days, maybe today's one of them, when you wonder if God cares, you wonder if he loves you, you wonder if he's on your side, Remember that God was willing to give up his own son for you. That's how deeply he is for you. Do you hear that? He was willing to give up his own son for you. That's how much he's for you. One of the things that so many people struggle with, really, we all do on some level, are terrors of conscience. God's law rightly accuses us. It chases us about, Luther famously said. It tells us what we are supposed to do and then accuses us for not having done it. That's not very nice, is it? You know what that's like? Does your conscience ever tell you that you've done wrong? If not, you know where my office is. Please come find me and I'll help you to find that. Because the reality of the human condition is that we have a nature that is born sinful. And as long as we are on this earth, there's going to be a struggle. To ignore that is dangerous and deadly. But here's the deal, you guys. The gospel comes in then and says, God is for you. So the devil throws our sins in our face and he tells us that we deserve death and hell. These are more of Luther's words, by the way. And we admit that we do deserve death and hell. It's true. But the gospel says that God is for us, that he suffered and made satisfaction on our behalf. His name is Jesus, Luther writes, and where he is, there I'll be also. And in him then, with him, who is for us, who justifies us, verse 33, those sins then are forgiven, they're washed away, and they can't be brought against us anymore. Those of you who are struggling under the weight of past sin, whatever it might be, however ugly it might be, and yes, even those ones that are so deep and dark that you don't think anybody knows about, and maybe nobody here does know about. But God knows. Because he sees all. He knows all. Christ's finished work on the cross cleanses us, cleanses you from those stains too. To disagree with that is to minimize the power of Christ's work on the cross. Do you hear that? Maybe Jesus isn't powerful enough to forgive that sin. It's not true. There is no sin that God cannot cleanse and does not cleanse for those of us who are in him. Who is to condemn? Verse 34. Back to verse 1, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the reason why precisely is because he's the one who died and who subsequently beat death. The one who is at this moment, it says, at the right hand of God, interceding and working for you. You want to know why we struggle so much to actually believe that we are forgiven and free? Why do we always struggle with that? To believe that we are actually forgiven and free? It's because our nature clings to this idea that we somehow have to make it right. Now, a lot of Christians don't say that, but they behave that way. I can't get over the guilt of this sin, and so I need to keep trying harder to be a better Christian, and then maybe the guilt will go away. I need to bury it. I need to forget about it. I need to go to church more. I need a better Bible study that will help me build better habits, that will distance myself from my guilt. Stop. The solution to freedom from the guilt and condemnation of sin is death and resurrection. The solution to freedom from guilt and condemnation of sin is death and resurrection. That's only something that Christ Jesus could do. And verse 34 tells us that's exactly what he did. So stop looking to yourself and everything that you need to do to make yourself better, and fix your gaze upon the one who loved you and gave himself up for you. The one who is for you. And that changes us. I'm going to read kind of a lengthy quote here from a Swedish pastor, from that Swedish pastor Rosenius that I mentioned earlier. I don't always include longer quotes. It can be hard to follow along. Please try, because this is pretty special. Since the death of Christ constitutes my atonement, I am free. It's true. I am absolved from my sins because the divine righteousness has been satisfied and justice has been given the full demands of God's holy law. Christ has accomplished this in our stead. God, in his mercy, cannot invalidate his justice wrought through the atonement of his Son. We have the receipt and seal of assurance in the resurrection of our Lord. The victory of the atonement has been won. All has been furnished and provided in our behalf as evidenced. We know it by the resurrection of Christ, the crucified Lamb offered for us. This forgiveness and freedom, friends, is ours, is yours. And it's assured precisely because it's dependent on work that was done outside of you, but very specifically for you. So doubts and fears and worries and sins and failures don't have to rule us anymore because Christ has done the work. And he does his work very well. Think about this with me. In verse 35, Paul gives here a list of seven things, seven troubles. Stuff that he actually himself experienced. You can find yourself in different places on this list. Tribulation. Shall tribulation separate us from God's love? Trouble, trials, tough times. Are you familiar with those? Distress, it says. Anguish. The word there for distress has this picture of being in a tight spot. Have you ever been in a tight spot? Or a better way to express that, have you ever been in a bad situation where you feel like there's nowhere to go? You feel trapped, stuck. Is that a place where God is not with you or for you? Paul's saying here, even a place like that is not too dark or too closed off for the light of Christ's death and resurrection to come in. Persecution, Paul writes, not something that American Christians deal with compared to our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, but one thing I think we get caught up in is fear of persecution. If the U.S. government does their worst to us, okay? And personally, just by the way, I don't think that'll happen. But if it does, can that separate us from Christ's love? Famine, hunger, it says, nakedness, poverty. If our bank accounts are empty or we're just scraping by, does that mean that God doesn't love us? Danger, sword, even death, can that separate us from God's love? Notice here that Paul doesn't say that God's love in Christ will prevent those sufferings. Rather, in the midst of them, whatever may come, we remember that God is for us. That he has won the victory for us on the cross, and in him we have eternal life. That's how we can join Paul in saying in verse 37 that we are more than conquerors. This goes beyond winning a battle. The battle is already won. We're more than conquerors. We are recipients of the spoils of Christ's victory through him who loved us. And then Paul's had enough. And he just breaks out into song. I am sure, he says. There's that assurance and that peace and confidence in the perfect work of Christ on our behalf for us. I am sure. Death or life, even death, can't separate us from God's love, because part of the work that he did for us on our behalf was turning death on its head, swallowing it up and turning it into something. And follow me here on this, please. Thinking of death, something that is a consequence of sin and the brokenness of this world and of our natures, right? Death is a dark place. And it's here because of sin and brokenness. But when we say that death has been turned on its head, that it's been swallowed, because in Christ, death now has become something that actually puts sin to death. Do you follow that? Death has become something that puts sin to death. Death is what finally rids us of this old nature and brings us to eternal life. Death can't separate us from God's love, because it's become the entrance to eternal life. Isn't that brilliant? Only God could do that. Only God could beat death, could swallow it up, and that's exactly what he did when Jesus rose again. Paul mentions here angels and rulers. There are those spiritual forces that stand in opposition to God, but he's beat them too. Colossians 2:15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Things present or things to come, friends, whatever hardship you're facing today, whatever trial or temptation, whatever the future may hold, whatever the future may hold, you are in the precious, tender care of the one who is eternally faithful. Height or depth, anything in time or space, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This blessed truth is found in Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 John 5. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We know because God is for us. Because God has done the work, and he does his work well. He does it perfectly. Take joy in that, my dear brothers and sisters, today. Find peace in the knowledge that God is for you. I'll give you one just more quote here from that man, Rosenius. It's a statement and then a prayer. This is altogether too wonderful for my narrow-chambered heart, which is so prone to doubt and conflict. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to see you as the one who is for us. Amen. Let's sing. Lord, today we are especially grateful to you for your victory over death, because you live. I think of the words in 1 Corinthians 15 that if you did not rise from the dead, we are of all people most to be pitied, because then we are without hope. But God, because you did in fact rise from the dead, we have a hope that does not disappoint. We have a peace that passes all understanding, even when disappointment and misunderstandings and hurts and sufferings and pains come our way. And God, those are so hard and they're such difficult times. God, help us to remember when those storms come that you are our rock, you are our cornerstone, you are faithful. You are the one who lives, who reigns today, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. God, you are for us. What a comfort and joy that brings. Thank you so much for that. I pray today for those who are hurting. We think of many I know who are at home sick today. Feels like it's been kind of a tough year with lots of cold and flu and things like that. God, I pray that you would heal those who aren't feeling well today. And I pray specifically for Felicity Patenote. I pray, God, that you would heal her little body. We know that you are able, and we ask that you would please intercede on her behalf with this RSV, with some of the other complications, Lord, with this cancer too. I pray for her parents, Ryan and Stephanie, that you would comfort them today, as only you can do, for the rest of Felicity's siblings as well. Continue to sustain them through each day. I thank you so much for those who have been such great help here in these last days. And I pray, God, that moving forward in the next days and weeks to come, that you would show us how we can continue to help and support this family. Lord, I pray for Jackie Earle, and as she continues to recover, I pray for Donna Ranger in the hospital today, too, that you would bring healing and comfort to her. I pray for Ina's and for her surgery this week, God. I ask that you would that you'd be with the doctors as they perform this surgery on her, and that you would give them steady hands, wisdom to know how best to help her, and that you would bring a quick healing and recovery there to Ina's as well. Lord, we're excited for the concert this weekend on Friday and for the wonderful time that's going to be, and I pray that you would bless that time and bless the ministry of our Bible school. Especially, we're asking for prayer for this choir as they head overseas to Europe in a few months for that time. Lord, I pray for all that is done here this week in the life of our congregation, and I pray that you would continue to use us for your kingdom's work. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.